Find your Bible, please, and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For the past couple of Sundays, we've been focusing our thoughts and our attention on what the Scripture has to say about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And for many of you, this is not new information. This is a revisitation of truths and doctrines that you've known for a long time. But in a church like ours, where there are new people coming to faith in Christ on a regular basis, there are many of you who are new believers, and you are uninformed about what the Scripture teaches about spiritual gifts. And so from time to time, it is important that we revisit this very vital doctrine. And this morning, I want you to think with me about this subject, discovering your spiritual gift. Discovering your spiritual gift. During the days of the Great Depression, there was a man by the name of Yates who was a rancher in West Texas. And on his ranch, he had many sheep. But because of difficult economic times, Mr. Yates, along with almost everybody else in the United States in those days, found it difficult to pay all of his financial obligations. In fact, he got behind on paying the mortgage on his ranch, and he had to be assisted, as were other Americans, with some government subsidy. And it was a difficult time for him. And one day there came to his ranch a wildcat oil drilling crew, and they asked Mr. Yates if they could just do a little test drill on his ranch because they had reason to believe there might be oil beneath the surface. And he gave his permission, and sure enough, at 1,115 feet, this wildcat crew hit a huge oil reserve and immediately began to produce 80,000 barrels of oil a day. They began to drill other wells and found there was huge oil reserves on this man's property. In fact, 30 years later, the potential for the oil flow on Yates Ranch was 125,000 barrels a day. Now, Mr. Yates was a wealthy man, but he was living like a pauper. He had no idea that beneath the surface of his ranch were these huge oil reserves, and therefore he was living on government subsidy. Well, many Christians today live in spiritual poverty, unaware that the riches in Christ Jesus have been given to us, and that we have been gifted by the Holy Spirit of God with grace, gifts for ministry. And so this morning I want to think with you for a bit about spiritual gifts and how you can discover the spiritual gifts which God has given to you. Now, this is not a minor matter to the Lord. If you'll look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, you'll see that Paul the Apostle, instructing the Corinthian Christians under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." Believers possess spiritual riches in Christ Jesus called spiritual gifts, and God says we're to know about it. We are not to be ignorant about these spiritual gifts. Now, perchance you were not here last Sunday morning, so let me just give you a quick definition of a spiritual gift that I gave last week. A spiritual gift is a Spirit-given ability for Christian service. A spiritual gift is a Spirit-given ability for Christian service or ministry within the body of Christ. Now, having said that, and having looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, which admonishes us not to be ignorant about spiritual gifts, I need to ask you this question. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Or do you know what your spiritual gifts, plural, are? Because the Bible says that all of us have been gifted for ministry. Now, I wouldn't do this. We wouldn't have the time to do this if I wanted to. But if we just went around the room and everybody stand and say, my spiritual gift or my spiritual gifts are, could you do it? Could you stand and say, this is the way the Spirit of God has gifted me in the body of Christ? Well, let's talk about discovering your spiritual gifts. And I want to give you 6 steps that I believe will facilitate and enhance your understanding and your discovery of the gifts of the Holy Spirit which have been entrusted to you. Step number one, believe you are gifted. If you and I are going to be, if we're going to discover the gifts of the Spirit which God has given to us, it begins right here. We must have confidence that we've been gifted by the Holy Spirit. Now, I think some people have the mistaken idea that spiritual gifts are just for the spiritual elite, you know, those special people that God has. Well, first of all, you won't find anything in the New Testament about a group called, that we might call the spiritual elite. We are all gifted by the Holy Spirit. And so we must believe this. We must affirm this because the Bible is quite clear in teaching this. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And the part of this verse I want you to focus on is that first part of that 7th verse. Now to each one. There are no exceptions. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a part of the each one. And the manifestation or the gifting of the Holy Spirit has been given to you. Look in verse 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each man just as He determines. So God the Holy Spirit gifts us, each one, each man, each woman, no exceptions. Now, either it's true or it's false. Either the Bible is true at this point or it's not. I mean, for a person to say, well, I know God gives spiritual gifts to certain members of the body of Christ, but I don't think He's given me a spiritual gift, is to deny the veracity and the authority of the Word of God. And so we accept it by faith. You say, well, I don't feel gifted. Well, it's not a matter of how you feel. It is a matter of receiving by faith the clear teaching of the Word of God. Do you want to know your spiritual gift? Good. It begins right here. You must believe you're gifted. Second step, ask God to reveal your gifts. Just in prayer, ask the Lord God through His Spirit to show you how He has gifted you. We just pray and ask God to reveal it to us. Look with me in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and we'll pick it up in the middle of verse 2, and look there in verse 3. James chapter 4. Now look in the middle of verse 2. God's Word says, watch this, you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Now, here we're admonished to ask God. There's far more that God wants to do for us and in us and through us than we experience for the simple reason that we don't ask Him, including the knowledge of how He has gifted us for ministry. Do you want to know your spiritual gift? Then go to the Lord in prayer with an honest approach, an open mind, an open heart, willing to receive from His hands whatever He gives you, and ask, say, Spirit of God, show me how You have gifted me for ministry. But verse 3 is a caution for us here, because we're to check our motives. Look again in verse 3. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And so when we go to the Lord and ask, we need to make sure our motives are pure and honorable. You say, well, what would an impure motive be about asking about the gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, I think someone can go to the Lord and say, show me my spiritual gift so I can see if that's the one I want. You know, just sort of a curiosity. Without an unsurrendered heart willing to embrace whatever God shows you. That'd be a wrong motive. Or someone might go and say, Lord, show me what spiritual gift you've given me so that I can use it to bring glory unto myself. No, that's an impure motive. We're to guard against a wrong motive. Our motive should be to discover the gift so that we may exercise the gift in service for Christ, that the body of Christ may be built up and the name of the Lord God might be praised. Furthermore, I want to say that God wants you to know your spiritual gift even more than you want to know it. God is not trying to withhold this truth from you. God wants to show Himself. He wants to reveal to you how He's gifted you even more than you want to understand that. So, step number two is just simply ask God to reveal to you how He has gifted you. Step number three, be aware of what gifts are available. Be aware of what spiritual gifts are available to the body of Christ. Now, how do we discover that? In the Scripture. There are three places in the New Testament where there are lists of gifts of the Spirit. And so it is incumbent upon us, if we really want to know how we're gifted, to be familiar with these gifts and these portions of Scripture. Let's look, first of all, in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 and 7 and 8. And here we find a listing, one of three lists of the gifts which God the Holy Spirit has given to His people. Look in verse 6. We have different gifts. That means there's a variety of gifts. Different gifts according to the grace given us. Now, spiritual gifts are grace gifts. It's not something you and I deserve. When we receive a spiritual gift, it is simply an expression of God's grace to us. Now, in the middle of verse 6, we have a listing of some of these spiritual gifts. If a man's gift is prophesying, then let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, then let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, which is the exhortation gift or the counseling gift, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others or the giving gift, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And so here we find a list of seven spiritual gifts. Now, many of you are going to find yourself right here. One of these gifts is likely to be your spiritual gift. Not necessarily, but quite likely, because this is a fairly long, lengthy list. And so whatever your gift is, you're to use it for the glory of God. And you're to minister according to your giftedness. Now there's a second listing found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look in verses 8, 9, and 10. And you're going to notice in this second list, in the 1 Corinthians 12 list, there is some overlap, but there are also some gifts that are listed here that are not found in the Romans list. Look in verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. Okay, there's the gift of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. There's the gift of knowledge. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. May I just pause and say here that you'll notice under healing, it's not gift of healing, but gifts, plural, of healing. And it probably means that there are gifts of physical healing and gifts of emotional healing and gifts of mental healing. Okay, let's read on verse 10. To another, miraculous powers or miracles. To another, prophecy. Now, we've already seen prophecy in the Romans 12 list. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, that is discernment, that is to be able to discern between when something is of Satan and when something is of God. And to another, the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. Now let's look across at verse 28, 29, and 30. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 and following. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles. This is the first time we've seen apostles. And second, prophets. Now we've seen prophets already. And third, teachers. Then workers of miracles, those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, which is the first time we've seen helps, those with gifts of administration. Now, some people say administration and leadership are one and the same. I personally believe they're two distinct gifts that express themselves in two very distinct kinds of ministries. And then, verse 28, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. And then Paul asked these rhetorical questions in verses 29 and 30. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak in tongues? And do all interpret? And the obvious answer is no. Some are apostles, but not all. Some are prophets, but not all. Some are teachers, but not all. Some have the gift to work miracles, but not all. Some have gifts of healing, but not all. Some can speak in tongues, but not all. Some may interpret, but not all. And so here we have in 1 Corinthians 12 a second list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you didn't find yourself in the Romans 12 list, you likely will find yourself in the 1 Corinthians 12 list. Now there's one more in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Now this is a listing of gifted leaders which God has placed in His church. Look in verse 11. It was He who gave some to be apostles. We've seen that previously. And some to be prophets. We've seen that previously. And some to be evangelists. That's the first time we've seen that one, the evangelistic gift. And some to be pastors and teachers. So here you have the Romans list, the 1 Corinthians list, the Ephesians 4 list. Now somewhere in one of those lists of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you should find your gift, your Spirit-given ability to serve in the body of Christ. Now some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, is this the entirety of the list? Is this the entirety of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Are there other gifts of the Spirit, perhaps that aren't found in the New Testament? I don't know the answer to that. And quite frankly, I don't know that anybody but God knows that. Because to say dogmatically, categorically, this is it, or to say dogmatically, categorically, there are other gifts that are not found in the Scripture, is to speak and to make your argument from silence. So when I preach on the gifts of the Spirit, I just stick with the ones that are in the Bible. And if God wants to do something beyond that, you know, He's sovereign. He can do whatever it is that He purposes to do. May I suggest to you that there's something for you, some gifting for you in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, or Ephesians 4, that God has graced you with one or more of these spiritual gifts. And if you will discover your spiritual gift, you must be aware of what spiritual gifts God has given to His church. There's a fourth step as we think about discovering your spiritual gift. The fourth step is this: begin to serve. Begin now to find some avenue of service in the body of Christ. Don't wait until you are absolutely, positively sure what your spiritual gift or spiritual gift mix is. But begin now to exercise some kind of ministry in the church. Look in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Now this ninth chapter of Hebrews, one of the great chapters in the Bible. It talks about the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross and the shedding of His blood for the remission of our sins. It is such a strategic and important chapter. It's not primarily about service for Christ. But in this 14th verse, there is just a little phrase here that speaks of service.
of God's people. And so look in Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death? Now, let me just pause right here. It is the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all of our sin and all of our guilt. But notice this last phrase in verse 14. So that, why are we saved? Why are we forgiven? So that we may serve the living God. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ save you? Was it just to take you to heaven? Well, that's certainly part of it. But that's not all of it. He saved us that we might serve Him. We have been born again that we might be a channel of God's Spirit to minister within the body of Christ and through the body of Christ beyond to the local community and to the ends of the earth, sharing the gospel of the grace of the Son of God. In other words, you've been saved to serve God. And so I would suggest, if you're really serious about knowing your spiritual gift, begin to work for God. Go to work. Get busy doing something for God. Accept some responsibility somewhere in the context of His church. For instance, many of the gifts of the Spirit have corresponding commands. For instance, there is the spiritual gift of encouraging, but we're all admonished in Scripture to encourage one another and exhort one another and to counsel one another. There is the spiritual gift in the Bible of giving. But whether or not you and I have the spiritual gift of giving, we're all admonished to bring at least the tithe into the storehouse. Now, the person with the gift of giving is going to find that he's going to be able to give perhaps in ways far beyond most of us can give. But you may not discover that until you begin with the tithe. And then you discover perhaps that you have a God-given ability to go far, far, far beyond that. And so there are corresponding commands that overlap with some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so as we begin to obey these commands of God, we find in some of these expressions of obedience to these commands, we find this sense of eureka, that this is what God has called me and gifted me to do, and this is where I fit in the body of Christ. And so as we obey, the Holy Spirit of God reveals to us, this is your niche in the body of Christ. To quote a cliche, try it. You might like it. So begin to serve. Begin to find a place of service within Christ's church. Step number 5 in seeking to understand and discover your spiritual gift is this. Consider your desires. Consider your desires, because what you desire to a great degree has been determined by the Lord God, who made you uniquely you. Look in Psalm 37, verse 4, the 37th Psalm and the 4th verse. The Psalm of David. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 37, 4. Look at it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, when you think about yourself and your relationship with God, and when you think about how you fit in the church, what are your desires? I mean, if you could serve anywhere, where would you serve? What do you enjoy doing? To what area of ministry are you being drawn? What comes naturally to you? Well, if it comes naturally to you, it's not natural. It's really supernatural, because the Holy Spirit has gifted you in such a way that you are drawn to that particular area of ministry. As we delight ourselves in the Lord, God begins to shape and mold and transform our desires so that He may give to us the desires of our heart. Somehow the idea that, you know, if I'm serious about serving God, God's just going to make me miserable and wretched. He's going to make me do something I don't want to do.
That's not taught in the Bible. If you're in the will of God, there's going to be joy and fulfillment and satisfaction. Now, that's not to say that you don't ever have a bad day or a bad week or even a bad month. That's not to say that you don't get tired or exhausted or frustrated at times, but it is simply to say that the Scripture teaches that God works in our lives in such a way so that when He gives us these spiritual gifts, that it shapes and molds our desires so that as we exercise our spiritual gift in ministry, it'll be according to the desires of our heart. There is a sense of fulfillment and reward and satisfaction. So consider your desires. If you could do anything, what would you do? Then you ought to probably try it. Just check it out and do it. And then there's a sixth and final step I want to share with you. It is simply this. Consider the confirmation of others. Consider the confirmation of other believers. What do others say about you when you exercise a particular ministry, when you do a certain ministry? Now, I could have stated that negatively. I could have said it this way. Consider the rejection of others, okay? But I wanted to couch it in a positive manner. So you do a certain ministry. Do people respond? Are they blessed? Are they built up? Are they instructed? Are they encouraged? Are they helped in some way? Or do they just kind of tune you out? See, if you get confirmation from others when you do a certain ministry, that is one of many ways to discern your spiritual giftedness. I mean, if you say you're gifted to be a leader and nobody's following, you've missed it, see. You're just taking a walk. If you say, I've been gifted to teach the Bible, and people hear you teach the Bible and they're instructed and they're built up in the faith and they learn, and people come to you and they say, when you teach the Word of God, it helps me and blesses me and I've been enlightened, then that's a pretty good sign. You may have that particular spiritual gift. If, on the other hand, you're assigned a class of 12 people, and after you've been teaching 6 weeks, you're down to 2, it might be a sign you don't have the gift to teach. So consider what others have to say. Now, that's not the only factor, but it is one factor. And so factor it in. I found this true in my own experience, my own call to be a pastor. Most of you are aware that when I was a teenager, I didn't want to be a pastor. I wanted to be a United States Senator. In fact, I had persuaded myself that that's what God wanted me to do. I know it sounds arrogant. Perhaps it was. I don't know. But I was convinced that it was God's will for my life. So I was consumed with things political during my 10th and 11th and 12th grade years and my first year here at Auburn University as a student. But there are other people who kept saying to me things like this. Where are you going to seminary someday? I mean, my former pastor would say it. Sunday school teachers would say it to me. I've been saying it for years. My Aunt Cordy was always talking about it. It used to irritate me. Why would people keep saying this to me? And I would try to straighten them out. I'd say, I'm not going to seminary. I'm going to the United States Senate. I've already told you before. Perhaps they knew something about me. In fact, I'm quite confident they knew something that I didn't know. It was the confirmation of others, God using them to mold and shape my life and the direction and the course of my vocational life to bring me to the place that I would someday be a pastor. So don't just kind of lightly blow off when somebody says to you, you know, I think you're a good Bible teacher. I think you'd be good in this ministry or that ministry. I think you'd be great working here or there. Because they may be God's instrument in your life. Now, having said all that, where do we go from here? Well, I've given you 6 steps to help you find where God wants you to go to discern how He's gifted you for ministry. But I hold in my hand this little book that says Every Member in Ministry. It's a guide. It's just filled with dozens and dozens and dozens of ways you can find a place of service here at Lakeview. And quite frankly, God has given each one of us gifts which are to be exercised in ministry in the life and fellowship of this church. Now, some of these particular areas of ministry will call for multiple gifts on the part of one person or a number of persons. And as I understand the New Testament teaching about spiritual gifts, I believe it is so diverse, far beyond our finite minds to comprehend. Because you see, you know, here's a person who may have the gift of encouraging and showing mercy. And that's one spiritual gift mix. And somebody else may have gift of mercy and helps. And that's another spiritual gift mix. And they're similar, but they're not the same. And you can take that and multiply that thing out many, many times. And you have such incredible diversity of how to serve Christ in His church. But I do want you to know this, that every one of us are gifted for ministry. And that's why every year in the latter part of October and into November, we focus for just 3 or 4 Sundays on what the Scripture teaches about New Testament church ministry. It's not just the responsibility of the professionals, the staff. It is the privilege of every single member of the body of Christ. And so when you received in your Sunday school class this information, I hope you took it seriously. If you didn't receive it, there are packets out there in the foyer in the lobby. I hope you'll pick one up and take this seriously. And just say, I'm not going to be content just to serve or just to come and sit and be encouraged and blessed and taught, but I'm going to find my place of service in the body of Christ. And if you do that, when all of us function as we are gifted to function, the body is built up, the witness goes forth, sinners are saved, and Jesus is glorified. And that's the way it ought to be. Let's pray together.